So I'd like to continue with the journey of really following the Lord. I'd like to talk just briefly about a distraction. I was giving a retreat recently at a parish, and it's like everybody was all over the place. There was something going on in the basement. The bus was making noises outside. There was a train going by. And like it was almost as if people couldn't hear me. I worry that folks can't hear. To hear deeply is an important Christian virtue because it means you know that God is calling you. And you can tell the difference between the voice of the shepherd and the voice of Satan. And people confuse the two. I want to help you sort of get to the core. You should be able to discern very deeply, very clearly, the movements of God in your life. If you're a settled woman, if you have a quiet heart, if you are prayerfully disposed to the movement of God like Our Lady, you will be able to understand what God is asking of you and how to actually follow the Lord. Following the Lord doesn't depend on whether your spouse or your kids or your best friend follows the Lord. It means, where, Lord, are you guiding me? Where are you calling me? You may stand in the face of all kinds of opposition, but you know that God has called you. And you are in the midst of isolation and struggle and health issues and all of those things, and yet you know that God is there in that midst. Ladies, that is following the Lord. And that discernment to say, Lord, I know you are calling me. I want to go back to start again on where I started this morning or earlier, where you are and where you're going. The Catechism makes it very clear. The whole purpose of this movement of God is to establish, to strengthen you in friendship. God is calling you into friendship. Okay? That friendship must sustain you, folks. God doesn't give us crosses or trials in our lives so that we can turn and walk away. Look, he's not into that. He gives us these trials because it purifies us. It strengthens us. Like a mom that drops off a little kindergartner for the first day of school, and there's that moment of intense love and sadness, but she knows she's got to do it. There are times when God just has to leave us certain places so that we can mature, get on our feet, and realize, okay, Lord, I can get through this. I know that you're watching. I know that you are with me. I want you to look back on those in your life as I start this talk and see, where were those moments of God where you're like, man, that was a tough time in my life, Lord, but you later manifested that you were with me. Was it a time of pain? Was it struggle in your vocation? Was it a loss of a loved one? Was it sickness? Was it trauma? Look, God was there. God was there. He hasn't abandoned you in those places. But even those places become moments of powerful grace that God can speak to you and through you. The young man I alluded to earlier, he's got a gigantic microphone now that he can speak the truth to hundreds of kids because he can tell them what it felt like to have cancer. And then, secondly, what did it feel like to know that God was with him in the sickness? And then thirdly, to tell them, this is how it felt when people wouldn't look at me because I had cancer. This kid will draw them in because that's the movement of God. Why? Because it's God's kingdom within that boy. He surrendered that place, and then God can move there. God can work in there. Believe me, I don't care where you came from, but when you give God permission to do the powerful work within you, then God works powerfully and mightily through you. There's no question, none. I see it constantly. And sometimes we're embarrassed of our past and we can't imagine, but the point of this second talk is, if I'm the one following the Lord, I know where I am, I know that he's speaking to me in my brokenness, then guess what? You can invite people to follow him. You can invite them because your words will have authority. Your words are going to speak to people. They will hear you deeply. They will hear you in the center of their heart, like, you just spoke the truth to me. But then again, you have to have the courage to go there. Courage isn't just be like, I'm just going to say this to this person and just whatever. I'm talking about, no, I want to bring heal. I want to bring Christ in this word. God is seeking to build this kingdom through friendships. And I'm not talking about the kind of friends that are just say whatever they want. Where you are and where you're going, what God is sustaining in you is going to be authentic friendship. He's undeniably, unquestionably unmovable. He is not moving in your life. Because that's not something that God does. He stays there. He's aware of you. He's moving, but he's drawing you to himself so that you can realize there are things that you have to shed and let go of in order to follow him. Let go of your expectations and allow God to do the work within you. Let go. Surrender. Surrender the ones you have for yourself. Surrender the expectations you have for God. And every single person that you come in contact with, that you think, oh, they would look better like this, or they should do this, or they should try that, let it go. And God will work in that place. Because the self-revelation, the grace that God gives to you, will speak to their hearts and give them freedom. The evil one seeks to distract us. That's the goal of the evil one. Look at me. I'm over here. Pay attention to me. Take your eyes off of the Lord and look over there. That's the goal of the evil one. So when you're finding yourself led to a place of sadness or a place of frustration or a place where you're like, I got to see this television show or I don't want to pray right now. I'll put prayer off till the end. You're surrendering to distraction. It's like the person that needs the brewski all the time. Not but one, not two, not three. They just, I need that brewski. Okay, it's not the fact that you popped the beer at 7. You've been thinking about it since 5 in the morning. And it can be food or it can be shopping. It can be a billion things. But that's really, it's like, oh man, let's hurry up. Let's just get through our prayers so we can go shop. Hurry up. Let's just get through our prayers so we can go on that drink. Look at the way the distraction comes in. Does everybody follow me? Okay, is that coming from God? No. So then be aware of it. And if the evil one's like, oh, no, pray the rosary now, just do a decade of the rosary. Like, okay, well, just do a decade of the rosary. But you made a commitment. You made the commitment, so follow through on that. Because then you'll begin to discern, like, really, ladies, you will begin to hear much more clearly, okay, I saw exactly the distraction of the evil one. Bail out on the rosary, say a decade of the rosary, and he's worked in that place. And guess what? Slowly, little by little, you're like, I'm too tired to do the rosary today. Next thing you know, you're going to park it on your bedside or on your rearview mirror. And then you're going to touch it like that counts as a rosary, right? There's a couple of guys I gave rosaries to. And they'll come up like they're like, you know, Mother Teresa. I was like, I always carry my rosary you gave me, Father. And I was like, you know, it's brown. You know, it's kind of like the white yarn or whatever. And I'm like, oh, man, you're using it? It's like, well, not really, but I carry it all the time. I was like, look, you don't get, like, credit for that. You know, it's like he grabs and goes all the way around and touches the bottom. It's like, okay, that's not like doing a lap around the rosary, right? The distractions that the evil one works are so utterly deceptive that we'll almost begin to justify ourselves. Are you with me? okay, so good. So that's the exact place I want you to be going after in your prayer. Like, you have to go against it. And only you know those things. Only you know, like, oh man, I just do not want to do this. You were good this morning, but then all of a sudden, like, this fog rolls in, and you're like, I don't want to do it, you know? And then you're in a terrible place. Like, I want you to be aware, okay, fight through that. The fog will dissipate once you stay faithful to what God asked of you. I see a lot of folks out of the chute really quick, and they give up on the 26 miles. It's a marathon. The spiritual life is a marathon. Following the Lord is a faithful pace, what some call a program of life, that demands a fidelity to that pace. If you are not a 26 miler a day, then don't write that down on your program of life. I don't care if you're 5 miles a day. I don't care if you think, wow, you know, I don't have time. But let's expand the idea that what God really wants to do is take the things of your day and turn them over to the Lord and look for his movements in the day. It doesn't have to be, you know, I have to be on my knees in the church praying in order for it to be an encounter. You can very beautifully have a lunch with your girlfriend and, like, really have a, you know, you pray and then you're like, so how are you? What's going on? You talk about many natural things, but there's a communion of love between you and that gal. Oh man, there's something of God there. And guess what? Then God is going to say, I'm in that. I'm in that with you. Okay? But it'll be easy to distract and go off topic and bring up politics or this or that. And you're like, whoa, whoa, wait a second. We are just in the middle of something deep. And then you just start talking about garbage. Like, why are you talking about that? Right? Are any of you blessed to have ADD? No. But it's really kind of funny because when the ADD in me, I guess, or whatever I have, it's really undiagnosed, okay? I'm going to come clean, right? But I can tell you, like, I through the ADD, like, I can ask people, what's that got to do with the topic right now? Because, like, I'm, like, going down the road with them, like, we're talking about this, and they're going over here. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's talk about it. And I was like, wait, time out. What's that got to do with this? I'm over here, and you're talking about over there, and I don't even see the connection, and I'm trying to stay ahead of you, but I say, stop it. Cut it off. You're way in la-la land, and that's a distraction. It's a distraction because, you know what, I was just in the deep end of the conversation, and it got too much, so I'm just going to go to the shallow end, and I'm still in the pool, but I don't really want to stay in the deep end because it just became too much for me. It's so, so painful. And people don't even see it. It's like in the middle of an intense moment, you're like, I just need recess. What is wrong with you? What happens? Like, why are you so spiritually immature that you can't handle something of God? You can't bail out on that. Go, well, let's just go talk about this. Following the Lord means, Lord, I know your voice. I'm familiar with it. I know how to discern what's of you and what's not of you. And I'm able to really trust that what I hear within my heart, if I surrender it to you, if I offer it back to you in the Mass, then what God will begin to do, he says, I know where I come from, that God is in this place with me. It's a familiar encounter. Guess what? That's how I can follow him. I want you to really understand the reason why people do not discern is because they don't know where they started from and how God was there, and then so how can they follow? Yeah, they're at the starter's gate, but they're going the wrong way. Ladies, God is speaking to you in a place when you're distraction-free. You can't say, okay, let me pray, and I'm thinking about, you know, having a beer and going shopping. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, Lord, I hear you. That's too much distraction. And I'm not asking you to be on your knees with your rosary in your hand. What I'm asking you is have a silent heart. Confessing the sins and surrendering those will give you the chance because you have receptive hearts. Hear me on that. The receptive-hearted woman is a woman that bears fruit within her heart. It makes perfect sense. Follow Our Lady. Look at yourself biologically. You are supposed to receive and then bear fruit. Bring it out. But if there isn't that interior receptivity, then the growth will be stunted. God has a specific desire so that you hear Him, and thus as you hear Him in the depths of your heart, I am a child of God, and I know God is calling me to follow Him, and I know how He works in my life. And what happens? We fall in sin, and provided that you come back and bring it to the Lord in a transparent way, little by little, the evil one is going to get tired of distracting you with that sin because you keep bringing it back to the mercy of God. Hear me. He's going to get tired of dangling the carrot because every time you eat that carrot, he's like, darn it, she's going to go back to the sacrament of confession. And her will is overcoming her impulsivity. And that's how the evil one loses control of you. Do you get that? He loses control because you no longer become a distractive, impulsive person. And every time you respond to your wipeout, you respond in mercy, grace, prayer, and you say, man, he's going to stop dangling that carrot. I promise you. He will stop dangling the carrot. Because he realizes your response is bringing grace. And I don't mean just like a carrot of sin. I'm just talking about like a carrot of isolation, a carrot of self-absorption. Right? Like the one who's like, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Okay, well, but at some point it's like, you know, by the time it's come out of your mouth to tell people, like, all your struggles, you've talked about it in your head for, like, weeks. That should have already been taken to the Lord. Surrender to Him repeatedly in the Mass. Look, I just gave you the answer. Lord, what's in my heart? And, you know, you don't open your mouth, so you keep it in there, and it keeps getting all fired up. And finally, you're like, I'm fired up. I'm nowhere I should be. Yeah, I'm in church, but I'm over here. And when I'm over here, I'm thinking about over there. And when I'm having breakfast, I'm thinking about dinner. And you're never anywhere. So how is God going to speak to you? He can't, because you're not listening. You're not present. You're not there. And then what do? You grasp. Hey, how did that come across? Hey, Father, why this? Father, why that? And all of a sudden, you become somebody that wants attention as opposed to somebody that can actually respond to the movements of God within them and then become a witness to the grace of God within you. Amen? That's really following the Lord. And that is something that every single one of you has the ability to do. I don't care if you know the Bible backwards and forwards. You stay in that state of grace. You keep going to the sacraments. You become self-aware. You give yourself an encounter with God, which is what He wants, because He's speaking to you. He's saying, what is that predominant emotion in your heart? Let's talk about it. You're angry? Let's talk about it. Don't pray over it like you're going to suffocate that sin of anger. Talk about it. Lord, that's how I feel. Where are you in this? Like, ask Him the question. Where are you in my pain right now? But give him a chance to talk. Give him a chance to show you. And then you know how to follow. So at the end of the day, if you fall, if you wipe out, if you struggle with something, you'd be like, yeah, but I kept my eyes on you, Lord. So the evil one's going to be like, oh, man, I'm tired of coming at her with this stuff because The response is always her response of love. That is when there's clarity to the discernment of what God is doing in your life. Otherwise, we end up just really blocking the movement. His goal is friendship. Yeah, you to be a friend to the Lord, of course he is a friend, but then to be aware that he is that friend. Bring it to him what is in your heart. And then what you will do is when the struggles come at you, you can know I'm purposefully, intentionally following the Lord. Like the guy who thought he was Mr. Perfect in overcoming this sin, the struggle, and then he wiped out after a few months. And he gave me the soliloquy of how perfect he is. And I finally said, well, I'm kind of glad you wiped out because that's an encounter with grace. If every time we realized, I have my eyes on the Lord, I know where I am, but I still fall, guess what? Slowly, that sin no longer accuses us. Is everybody with me? Is anybody not with me? You can be honest. Simply because what God is asking of you is that he can speak to you in the place where you are. To what end? So that you can follow. Ladies, this is incredibly liberating. Because then, when everything is like swirling around you, and you're like, I know who I am, and somebody starts poking at your wounds, because that's what busted up people like to do. They like to poke at you because that's the way they relieve themselves, is they poke. Then when they poke, you have a response. Like, okay, Lord, like I know that this one is not from you. As opposed to saying, so-and-so poked at me, and then, I got really mad. Well, what'd you do? Well, I isolated, or I drank, or I went shopping, or I went this. Okay, fine. But that's not working. The last point. When, I want to go back to that boy, and this is what I was praying about today with the cancer. When the boy revealed that, he had no hair and people were looking at him and then looking away and stuff, I want to help you realize two things. Number one is that people are attracted to our brokenness when they have the same brokenness. Like, the gossipy woman loves the gossipy woman. She has to. Because the one that's not into it is eventually going to walk away. The needy one is like, oh, come on, let's go be needy together. Friendship challenges each other and corrects each other. Okay, that's what we want to grow. That's how we grow. It's so fun when you like give a guy's retreat, and a couple of us have been doing retreats, and then we just clobber them in the sacrament of confession, right? And when you clobber a dude, like if he's a real dude, he's going to be like, yeah, dude, you just clobbered me, right? And they love it. Because, like, a guy loves to be called out. Right? That's Like, that's the nature. I'm like, yeah, dude, like, you're being a total wimp. Like, man up, sacrifice, protect your family, blah, blah, blah. And you'll hear him talking about it, like, in the hallways. Like, oh, yeah, man, Father so-and-so put that kibosh on me, right? And they'll talk about it. It's like, hey, Father, you hammered me in there, man. And I was like, you want another? Come on, man, let's do it again. But why? It's because, like, they see that love, right? Like, that's love. I was like, come on. I think that when we go to the sacrament and, like, you know, we catch the hammer, it's because, like, don't get squirrely about it, but just say, okay, Lord, I can respond to this. I know there's something here for me. Understand the deeper reality. That, okay, Lord, maybe that is not the way I would have delivered it, but let me take it. The distracted woman gets distracted in the delivery and doesn't hear the material. Are you with me? You're like, oh. Did you see the way he looked at me? Right? Like, no one else was in there. Oh, he looked at me meanly. Maybe he's tired. Right? And all of a sudden, it becomes like this ad hominem, like superficial, and they don't hear the topic of what the medicine was. They just hear the delivery, and it's very, very significant because it says they purposely pulled themselves into the shallow end of the pool and away from the encounter of grace. And they just said, oh, it's all about the delivery. It's all about the delivery. It's very hard then for them to follow because they're led by the slightest distraction. The slightest distraction leads them astray. When this boy witnessed to when I began to talk to him, this boy with the cancer, and he had this revelation, like, why do people look away from me? And eventually we got to the place, like, yes, it's because they too have a cancer, but they don't want to deal with it. And your sickness forces them to deal with it. But more than that, what he said the second part was, yeah, but why don't the little kids, Father, look away? I said, well, man, I think it's because maybe they have, maybe, the eyes of faith to see beyond the exterior. Maybe they can see something deeper. Maybe. Ladies, beauty will draw us constantly to the Lord, constantly. And when there is the awareness that God is with me in the moment, that the goal is friendship, then I don't really even have to be afraid of failure. I don't. Yes, I appreciate the power and grace of the sacrament of confession. But if you're really trying to overcome something, some trial in your life, some sin, it will be pretty stinking evident in your confession if you're really fighting to overcome it. Because you will make it clear, not in emotion, I don't care about that, but you will make it pretty clear, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired with this sin. And then the grace of redemption begins powerfully to work in your life. Okay? When you're really the one trying to overcome it. I think that the reason why folks bail is simply because they don't know where they are, is where God is with them, and that He is leading them. But because they're following me with all kinds of distractions, they just kind of go off in the parade this way when everybody's going that way. And it's amazing how they follow false voices. When it sounds like the Good Shepherd, it's really not. So there's a lot more to discuss, but time and all that. So let's pray, ladies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without. Our Lady of Guadalupe. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.